All right, if you have your Bibles today, please open up with me to the book of John, John chapter 1. John chapter 1, and while you're turning there, last week we finished with our last message in our What We Believe series. And today we are entering a new series. Now, technically, we started this series back in 2019. And then in August of 2020, we rabbit trailed into What We Believe. Now, the original series was called Life of Christ, and it was going to be a study through the book of Mark, and then it blossomed to include other passages through the Gospels. Now, because we started such a long time ago, I've decided to restart this series from the beginning. Now, this new series is called Do You Know My Jesus? And each week, we are going to be considering an attribute of Jesus Christ. In fact, each week's sermon will be titled according to that week's attribute. Now, we are going to be studying through the Gospels as a whole. Each week, we're going to be looking at different passages through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, this is not necessarily an exhaustive study of the life of Christ, but it should give us a very good understanding of who Jesus Christ is, his purpose, and what he has done for us. So let's start this morning with our text in John chapter 1. If you're able to, please stand with me out of respect for the reading of God's word. And let's look here at verse 1, which says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made." All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we have to gather around your word. Bless it. I pray, Lord, for any hearing this. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. Help us to understand the text today. Help us to learn from it and apply the truths of your word to our hearts. In your name, I pray these things. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, since we're going to be studying through each of the four Gospels through this series, I think it's important to give a little introduction about each book. And you can consider this kind of just a quick synopsis of each book. Now, the book of Matthew was written by one of Jesus's disciples, Matthew the tax collector. Now, Matthew is not really mentioned that much in the Gospels. He's certainly not as prominent as Peter, James, or John. Now, as we look at the book of Matthew, we will see that Matthew puts a greater emphasis on the teaching ministry of Jesus over the historical events. Matthew writes to more of the Jewish nation. This is his audience. So we'll see in his writings a broader understanding from what the Hebrews had been taught. In other words, we're going to see many times him quoting from the Old Testament. Now, the next gospel is the book of Mark. And I think Mark might be one of my favorite gospels because Mark is a younger man and he is one that gets right to the point. I think he's a little impatient. Instead of writing eloquently about an event, he kind of writes straightforward. And that's why you'll notice that Mark is the shortest of the four books. Now, Mark was a Jewish Christian who lived in Jerusalem with his mother, Mary. Now, don't get that confused. That is not the mother of Jesus. Now, they were part of the early church, and it is believed that they opened their house as a meeting place for Christians, and their home may be where the Last Supper was eaten. Now, Mark is the cousin of Barnabas, who accompanied Paul on his missionary journey recorded in Acts. Now, unlike Matthew, Mark writes more about what Jesus did with his time instead of focusing so much on what he taught on. So that gives us a very different perspective between Matthew and Mark. Now, the third gospel is the book of Luke. Now, Luke was a doctor and an evangelist and a friend of the Apostle Paul. So he was a more of a learned man. Luke wrote both the book of Luke and the book of Acts. Now, Luke is a Gentile. He's the only Gentile author in the New Testament. And Luke writes from a historian perspective. He's very careful and takes care what he writes. He's not too quick to react to things as Mark does. You know, he doesn't just jump to the point. It is from Luke that we Gentiles get a better perspective of what life was like during the life of Jesus. Now, Luke emphasizes through his writings the humanity of Jesus, showing his readers that Jesus was in fact a man and not just a spirit. Now, the fourth gospel is the book of John, and this book was written by the disciple and later the apostle John. Now, this man is different than John the Baptist. Now, you'll notice in the book of John that the emphasis is on the deity of Christ. There is not much historical content because John writes to help his readers better see that Jesus was God in the flesh. Now, just thinking about these four, they're very different. You've got a tax collector that, you know, was probably pretty good at math, but I don't think he went to college or anything for it. I don't think he was very learned per se in it. But still kind of get an understanding of where he's at. You've got Mark, who's a younger guy, who just really hasn't approached that many things in life, but is just writing a lot from very perspective. He's just quick and wants to kind of give you all the things that he finds kind of interesting about what's going on. Then you have Luke, who's a very learned man, who's looking at everything from a very historical perspective and as a Gentile. And then you have John, who's not writing from historical perspective at all. And he's not writing from necessarily what he sees. He's writing specifically on the deity of Christ to let people know that this isn't just God. This is God in man form. So what's interesting with that is we see instead of just God giving us one perspective as we have just one book about Jesus, we're giving four different books to look at Jesus from all kinds of different perspectives. And I think it's really helpful for us to get a better understanding of who Jesus Christ is. It kind of give us a broader understanding. And really another reason to have more than one book to focus on Jesus is because in Bible times, their court of law required you to have two or three witnesses to prove an account. Now, the way you can look at the accounts of all four of these men and see solid testimony for what is true. All right, well, let's look back at our text, John chapter 1, starting in verse 1. We have in the beginning. All right, the beginning of what? In the beginning. This isn't the beginning of time. I think this is talking about more than just creation of the earth. I believe this is in the beginning. This is like before we can even think, before we even have knowledge. In the beginning was the Word. The Word. In the beginning was the Word. So we have an entity here. We're not seeing that someone is speaking. Word is capitalized here, identifying it as a name. So in the beginning was the Word. So we have an entity. And the Word was with God. Okay, so this entity existed and it was with God. So we know that it was connected with God, or it was with, you know, it went places with God. It accompanied God. You know, as we would say today, I went to the store and my wife, you know, went with me. The idea of two of us together with obviously accompanying him. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Now let's look at the next part here of the verse, of verse 1. And the Word was God. So we have a separate entity identifying as the Word. Then it tells us that the Word is, was with God. Then it tells us that the Word was God. Now here in verse 2, it says, He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. So this is at the beginning of creation. Nothing. Nothing came to be without it coming to be through the Word. So we don't just see God at creation, we also see the Word. And the Word here is a separate entity. And in fact, in your verse 2, it says, He was in the beginning. So that's identifying that this separate entity is a male. A man. He, or of male, he being male and being separate from God as its own entity and yet being God himself. Now, who is the Word? Now look down with me to verse 14. And the Word became flesh. Okay, the Word became flesh. In other words, it became man. And dwelt among us. So here, he was here on the planet, on earth, dwelling among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. All right, so who is the only one who was begotten of God the Father? That's right, Jesus Christ. And we know that because of John chapter 3 and verse 16, which says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He became flesh. He dwelt among us. We beheld his glory as God, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So who is the only begotten of the Father? We see it's Jesus Christ. Now, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 through 2 says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16 says, For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. Now think about that for a moment. That means that Jesus had a part in making anything and everything that was made, including those things in heaven like angels or those animals and creations that are around God's throne that worship him all the time. Including heaven itself, including the tree of life that sits in heaven now, including the original Garden of Eden, including the galaxies, including the stars. He had a part in making man, animals, the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, flowers, trees, and even bugs. Everything from the dirt that we walk on to the air that we breathe, Jesus had a part in making that. Jesus really is God. He is great and mighty and has power beyond our imaginations. And we know that God is singular and yet has three separate distinctions, or we might say three separate entities within him. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All three parts of God were present at creation. God the Father was there with the Word, who is Jesus Christ. And in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. All three parts, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, all three parts together. So the Word is Jesus, and Jesus is God. He has always been God, and he will always be God. He has never ceased from being God. Now, let's consider some other passages in Scripture identifying who Jesus is. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 says, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23 says, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. We also see 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 6, which says, Yet for us there is one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9 says, For in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Titus chapter 2 and verse 13 says, Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, here's an interesting text, okay? In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8 through 9, God is addressing Jesus and he is identifying him as God. It says here, But to the Son, God says, Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. Now let's consider from Jesus' own lips who he is. John chapter 8, verse 58, Jesus said to them, Most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus here is identifying himself as being eternal. John chapter 10, verse 30 says, I and my Father are one. John chapter 8, verse 23 through 24, And Jesus said to the Pharisees, You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Revelation chapter 22, verse 12 through 13. Jesus said, And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Jesus is God. He has always been God, and he will always be God. Even when he was on the earth, he was God. Even when he was a baby, he was God. Even when he died on the cross, he was God. Now, next week, we are going to explore a little further into John and get a good understanding of what Jesus' purpose was here on the earth. Now, most people have heard or seen a film about Jesus' crucifixion, but there is so much more to Jesus Christ than simply his death. Jesus' death was necessary, and it was one of the reasons that Jesus came to the earth in the first place. Jesus died on the cross to be our substitution. Jesus' death became necessary when man first sinned in the Garden of Eden. The act of disobedience against our holy God is summed up in the little word sin. When Adam and Eve sinned, their disobedience removed their innocence. It is like the blanket of God's goodness was removed from them, and they were naked and embarrassed in their sin. But God made a blood sacrifice for them. He gave them a temporary covering that would clothe them, but their actions left a stain on all of mankind that followed them through the generations. God promised that one day no other blood sacrifices would have to be made, because one would come to once and for all take the sin of mankind onto himself. And that provision was made through the Word, God the Son, Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus went of his own free will to the cross and took upon himself our lifetime of sin, so that we no longer have to suffer the consequence, which is an eternal death separated from Jesus in a place called hell. Jesus already paid the price. Your sins can be forgiven once and for all today. Jesus is waiting for you to admit that he is God, that he paid your sin debt, and he wants you to repent of your sins, which means that you ask for forgiveness of them, and you make every effort not to live in disobedience to God, but instead from now on, follow what God's word says. Now, you don't talk to me about it. You talk to Jesus Christ about it. And he hears you, whether you call out to him audibly or whether you pray just quietly in your own mind even, so that no one else hears you but God. Regardless, it's about coming before the Lord with humility, focused on the fact that you are in fact a sinner, recognizing that Jesus Christ took that payment, that penalty of death, the death that separates you forever in a place called hell. Jesus took that upon himself so that you don't have to go to hell. If you are not 100% sure that you die today, that you'd be in heaven, I encourage you to get that right. It's simply a choice to step out by faith and admit that Jesus really is God, that Jesus really did take away the sins of the world, your sins, your disobedience against him. I would encourage you today to do that before it's too late. The Bible is clear that we get many chances in our lifetime, but once we pass out of this life, that was our last chance. The Bible says nothing about praying someone into heaven or by doing good things that we can make a change once we get to our judgment. We must, on this earth, accept the Lord as our personal Savior to ask for the forgiveness of our sins here before we move on to the next place. You never know when your last breath is going to be your last breath. Don't put it off. Get it right today. Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord God, we thank you so much that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to pay the penalty, the sin penalty, our debt. Lord, I pray that you would help us. For those that don't know for sure that if they die today, they'd be in heaven, I pray, Lord God, that you would grip their hearts. Use your Holy Spirit to help them to see their need. Lord, change them. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord God, they would know today for sure that when they die, they'd be in heaven with you. Lord, for those who already know for sure that when they die, they'd be in heaven, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to really know you. Lord, we know so many different things in life, but do we really know you? Do we really know Jesus Christ? Do we really know you as we should? Lord, I pray that we would be people of your word, that we would study your word, we would read it, that we'd meditate on it, and then most importantly, that we would walk by it. That we would hide it in our hearts. That we would apply it to our lives. And that we would follow by Jesus' example, the greatest example that we have. Lord, help us not to waste these lives that you've given to us. Help us, Lord, as Romans tells us, to not be conformed to this world, but to instead be transformed by the renewing of our minds, by the renewing through your word daily. Teach us what it means to know you. Teach us what it means to live for you. Lord, I pray that our lives would be significantly different from the world's. I pray that others would come to see Jesus Christ because of our lives. I pray, Lord, that you would use us for your glory. Help us not to waste our lives in this world by just living for ourselves, Lord, but help us to live for you instead. Thank you. Thank you again that you sent Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to this earth as a sacrifice for us. I pray, Lord, that this week we would go out, that we would learn more about you, but that we would tell the world about our Jesus, Jesus Christ. In your name I pray these things. Amen.